most of your time. I know the kids are starting to get a little bit restless. I'm aware of that. But what I want us to think about is again, the Christmas story, what it's all about. Now, in life, there are certain people who are what you might consider to be a genius. Absolutely brilliant. This is one of the people that you might consider to be a genius. Does anyone know who this is? Daniel? It's Tweek. Yeah, Tweek from the Octonauts. Now, Tweek is a genius. For those of you who weren't aware of the Octonauts, Tweek is a genius. What she does is she sees a problem, and then she comes up with some kind of magnificent solution to that particular problem. Now, it might be that she has to build a crazy contraption or something like that. And you think, how on earth are they going to get out of this one? And along comes Tweek. And she solves the problem. She does something which might seem crazy, but it works. You see, this is the thing about geniuses. They work out amazing things because they think differently to other people. Frequently, people think they're a bit crazy, crackpots. Like these guys, for example. Copernicus. Copernicus discovered that basically the Earth went round the sun, rather than the other way round. So the solar system is based on his findings. But when he went round telling everybody, oh, I've discovered all this stuff, they went, you're talking nonsense. Because they had a certain way of thinking, and his ideas just didn't fit with that particular way of thinking. He was a genius. He thought differently. He thought out of the box. Or perhaps this guy, Mendel. Now, Mendel basically discovered the building blocks for genetics. So pretty much every science lesson that you go into now will have been influenced by this particular individual. But the thing is, again, nobody believed him. He just spent his time looking at pea plants and doing all this stuff with these pea plants, and nobody believed him because he didn't look like a boffin. Now, it might be that you look at him and think, well, he looks like a boffin. But he was a monk. And people went, no, you can't tell us anything. You're not a scientist like us. You see, all these people had great ideas, but the ideas were just a little bit too beyond the way that people were thinking. And so they rejected their thinking. Now, what I want you to do is I want you to think, would you have listened to Mendel? Would you have listened to Copernicus? Would you have seen the genius that was there? I don't know. We'd like to think we would, wouldn't we? Well, I want to just make one suggestion to you this evening. And it's this. If there is a God, then maybe he is a genius. It's not too far-fetched, is it? Let's face it, God's pretty much bigger than us, and so he might think in a different way to us. If there's a God, maybe he is a genius. And I want to look at three things from a verse that Tim read earlier on about God and his plan for the world. The verse is here, the child will be born of the Virgin, and will be called Holy, the Son of God. So we're going to look at three things. The first thing is the virgin birth. The virgin birth. Now you might be sitting there thinking, you don't expect me to believe in the virgin birth, do you? That's just crazy, that's mental. These things don't happen. I know my biology and it doesn't happen. And Mary knew her biology as well, because she said to the angel, how can this be because I'm a virgin? Mary knew her biology, and Joseph certainly knew his biology, because he was all ready to get rid of her. He was a good man, so he'd divorce her quietly, but he knew virgins don't have kids. It doesn't happen. And you can imagine the gossip, can't you? Going around Nazareth when the bump started to show. Everyone knows that this just doesn't happen. Maybe it feels a little bit too far-fetched. But the virgin birth shows us miraculous life. If it's true, life is a miracle in that circumstance. Secondly, a holy child. A holy child means that the child is completely innocent. Holiness is all about innocence. So Jesus, you kind of think, well, how on earth can a child be holy? Any of us who've got kids, particularly the kids that, like my little Jonathan, who's desperately trying to wriggle away from mummy and seems to be biting her finger. Any of us who've had kids go, an innocent child? A holy child that does nothing wrong? Really? He didn't cheat in his Hebrew tests at school. He wasn't selfish with his toys when his brothers wanted to play with them. He had no reason to go on the naughty step. Though I presume he probably did end up on the naughty step because he didn't have perfect parents. But maybe we find that it's actually too hard to imagine that Jesus might be an innocent, pure, holy child. Thirdly, third thing to look at, the Son of God, a king. That's what that means. This sort of phrase might sound like it's all to do with God, and it kind of is, but the idea is that he was a king to lead people to know God. But kings aren't born in a stable. Kings are born from the royal line. Your dad's got to be a king if you want to be king. But there was nothing special about Jesus' background or his family or anything like that. The baby Jesus, a king? That's just ridiculous. That's not how the world works. So you might be thinking the Christmas story is just a fairy tale. He's just saying, well, it's kind of all pipe dreams. It's a nice little story for Christmas, like a lot of other stories that we might have at Christmas. You come along and you sing some carols, you listen to the Christmas story, and you feel all warm and cozy. It's nice. Feels good. But maybe, just maybe, these things which feel a little bit crazy are part of God's genius plan for the world. Because I want to suggest that we think like somebody. This guy. Who's this? Santa Claus, Father Christmas, yeah, brilliant. And when you go to we were at the hospital's Christmas extravaganza on Thursday night, and Hannah goes up to Father Christmas. What's the first question he asks? He doesn't ask, "What do you want for Christmas?" Sorry, have you been good? Have you been good? Brilliant, thank you. Have you been good this year? And then, when you say, "Yes, I've been very good," then Father Christmas says, "Well, what would you like?" And you see, we think in the same way as Father Christmas, don't we? We think that if you're good, then you receive, then you get. If you're good, then you get. But, well, how does that work when it comes to God? Maybe we imagine that when it comes to God, when we sort of die, we kind of don't want to necessarily think about that, but we think, you imagine sitting on God's knee, and he says, "Have you been naughty or nice?" And we go, "Well, I've been quite nice. I've been all right." And we think, great, God's therefore going to give us everything. He's going to go, "Yeah, fantastic, you're good. In you come." But the thing is, maybe there are people in the world that would say that we're not good. People who we've hurt. People who we've let down. And so we're thinking we're good, but actually are we? What's the pass mark? And then we think, well, if we're asking or talking to God, then the question going around my mind is, what's my attitude to God been? Have I ever hurt God by the way in which I've thought about him? Have I ever rejected him by the way in which I've lived? And suddenly I start to think, oh, have I really been good? Have I been good enough? And if we think like Santa, then actually, as Sue was saying, brought up thinking you just got to be good, you realise, actually, no, that's not me. That's not me. Which is why God's plan is genius, because God thinks better than any of us. God thinks better than Father Christmas, because his plan is just absolutely brilliant. Because those three things again, we're going to take them in reverse order. You see, we talked about the Son of God being a king. Well, the Son of God is a rescuing king, a liberating king. I want to read some words from Luke's gospel. Jesus says this: "God has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour." You see, Jesus is a king who's here to rescue people who can't save themselves. Well, how does he do it? Well, this is the second thing. We thought of him being innocent, didn't we? He is an innocent saviour. A holy child is an innocent saviour. When Jesus, later on in life, found himself before Pontius Pilate. Pilate said, you've not done anything wrong. I can't find anything wrong in you. Herod, again, couldn't find anything wrong in Jesus. A centurion, when Jesus was crucified, said, surely this man was innocent. But the best story about this, I want to read for you. It's in the end of Luke's Gospel, Luke chapter 23. It says this, one of the criminals who hung there alongside Jesus hurled insults at him. Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us, he says. But the other criminal rebuked him. Don't you fear God, he said, since you are under the same sentence. We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve, but this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus answered him, truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. You see, Jesus is an innocent Savior who dies to forgive the sins of people who are guilty. A holy child means an innocent Savior. We're going to be singing in just a few moments these words. O holy child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray, cast out our sin and enter in, be born in us today. You see, Jesus came in order to rescue us from our sin. An innocent Savior. But as Sue said earlier on, the story doesn't end there. Where does the virgin birth fit into all of this? Well, the virgin birth is all about miraculous life. It says that God can bring life where nobody else can. And it's true in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Jesus was dead and buried and in a tomb. And just as God brought life to an empty womb, he brought life into a tomb. He brought life back to the Lord Jesus. And the Lord Jesus says this later on in the Gospel. He told the disciples, this is what was written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. He applies it to us. Again, later on we're going to sing these words in just a few moments. Mild, he lays his glory by, born that men no more may die. Born to raise the sons of earth, born to give us second birth. You see, this is God's plan. A rescue from the things we can do nothing about. Sin and death. Now, if we can be good enough for God, if we can be like Santa Claus, sitting on God's knee and say, well, I've been good, then why bother? Why did God bother? Why did he send Jesus? Why did Jesus die? You ever thought about that? Why did God bother if you can be good enough for him? You see, it may just be that God is a stroke, or God is genius. That his plan is a stroke of genius. That he rescues us from, well, the things that we cannot save ourselves from. And as a result, our world will be turned upside down. As we do this, as we experience this, as Sue says, we will know liberation from performance-related reward. We'll experience his grace, his genuine hope, and actually Christmas will have meaning. So perhaps this Christmas is an opportunity for you. And maybe it's an opportunity for you to think about God. And maybe ask that question, does he know better than me? Is he a genius? Am I allowing him to perhaps turn my world upside down? Will I allow him to turn my world upside down? Can I open the potential for God to amaze me? Well, if you want to explore that kind of avenue, that God maybe knows better than us, have a look into Jesus. Have a look into God's plan and see if it works in reality. See if it works for you. Take one of these away. It's a little Luke's Gospel. Listen to what God's plan has to say to you. Because actually, you might find this Christmas, your world is turned upside down by the genius of God's plan. We're going to sing those two songs as we finish. O little town of Bethlehem, and hark the herald angels sing.